Well, that's what Jesus said. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul, one soul worth the whole world? What Jesus was saying. Thank you, young ladies. Appreciate the good message and song. Well, it's good tonight to have Brother Scotty Drake and Brother Glenn Morbin with us. They are going to be helping me in the program tonight, introducing the missionaries and hearing from them. One of the missionaries just left here, Brother Parsons, to go over to the Spanish department and be with them tonight. And we'll have several others coming in, different ones also joining us this coming Sunday. But Brother Scotty Drake, of course, is one of our church members, but he heads up the Helps Ministries and been doing it a long time. And, of course, go back a long way with Brother Scotty. We appreciate him so much. And he's just a little younger than me, and he rubs it in because he can keep traveling all these long distances and staying up all night and going to dangerous countries and coming back without being hurt and a bunch of stuff I'm not going to try anymore. And he did that just recently. He was just over in Vietnam and Philippines. And I'm going to ask him to start our conference off. I'm going him to give us a testimony a little bit about that. And then he and Brother Glenn will introduce the missionaries and just set your mind to receive something tonight. If you listen to the words of the song of the choir, and you listen to what the young ladies were saying, we're talking about getting the gospel to the world. Amen. We're talking about reaching souls and how important they are. Amen. Brother Scotty, come on and share with us, please.
All right. God bless you, sir. All right. Thank you, Pastor. I'll just take a minute. I did get to go to Vietnam, and I couldn't help but think while I was there in Vietnam and the Philippines, I could not help but think about Landmark Baptist Church. And I just thought to myself, I'd just give anything in the world if everybody could go to the mission field with me. And if you could go with me, the goal would be met next week. I went into Vietnam. Of course, I went into Haiti not long ago. And I don't think I've told this, but I went to Haiti. And they start, one of the churches we're in, and you support this, this church supports them. And they start a service every morning, Monday through Friday at 5:30 every morning, and have a service every morning. And then there was one when they had the tent city set up that they pitched one of the big tents that we sent over there, and they had a service every single night for seven straight months they had a service. And people getting saved, and we praise God for that. So that's Haiti, and that's one of the places, that preacher is one of the preachers this church supports. Then I went to Vietnam. When I went to Vietnam, I went over, it was Me Train. You know Me Train, he's another one this church supports. And there, over there, as long as the groups are small, they're not giving them much trouble unless the neighbors call. And so what they do when I get there, they take me through the alley so the neighbors don't see me, and they sneak me in, and then we have a service in there. And Me Train graduated 6 students that's going into the ministry this year, and he had 130 in the services. They were just packed completely out, and we got to speak to at least 14 Vietnamese preachers there. And then we went to another little Vietnamese church, and honest to goodness, it was about half the size of the choir loft right here, the room that they were in, about 13 or 14 people. And again, it was a place where they looked around, made sure no one was looking, and then they would tell me to come on in. And so we'd go in, and I'll never forget Jonathan, the boy up in, you know Jonathan, up yes. in West Virginia. Jonathan was standing, I'll never forget it. He stood, and there was about 13, 14 people in there, Vietnamese people, in this little bitty room. And he said, you know, he says, I've been in some of the largest churches in America. And he said, I'd rather be here tonight than any place I know of. And so we got to speak there in that little church, and come to find out they had just started a church in Hanoi. And that is definitely an underground church, a secretive church in Hanoi. So we praise God for that. Then I went to the Philippines. They like to kill me. I think I averaged about 4.5 hours sleep a night, And what they did, they had big services in different sections of the Philippines. And they'd get us up about 5:30 in the morning, and we'd travel for hours and get there, and then we'd have to preach until noon, then they'd feed us. And then by the time we got through eating, it's time to take off and go to another section of the Philippines and preach there. And by the time we got home, it was about midnight. And we get 5 hours sleep, get up in the morning, take off and do it again. But here's the thing, Pastor, that I want the church to understand. Preacher after preacher over there came up to me and said, are you still going to Landmark Baptist Church? I said, yes. Said, they've been supporting us. One fellow said, you've been supporting them since 2002, and he had built a beautiful auditorium. They started with 20 years ago, and they're right at 1,000 churches. And this one fellow, I'll never forget. I mean, the first night they had to rent an auditorium in the city. It was so big of a crowd, even bigger than this auditorium, much bigger than this auditorium. They did not use the balcony, but it was packed out, 14 saved, and just people. And I just thought to myself, I wish Landmark Baptist Church could see this. Just to know what we've done, what you've done in the last 20 years, would make you say, boy, we're going to make that goal, and we're going to make it quick. And not only that, we're going to do better next year than we did this year. Because if we do what we did last year, you're living by sight. You got me?
Yes.
I'm preaching to you now. Okay? You're living by sight if you do what you did last year. You don't live by faith until you go above what you saw happen last year. You understand it, don't you? Okay. Now I heard one amen right here in the preacher. But everybody ought to say amen. All right. Now listen, if you could have seen what I've seen in just the last few weeks and see what we've got here and what they've got there, you'd get rid of the stuff. You'd get rid of the stuff and say, hey, he's number one.
All right, Brother Glenn Mormon here works with HELPS, and he and his wife, Gail, they chauffeuring some of the missionaries around. So, Brother Glenn, come on and introduce the first missionary you want to use tonight. Talk about it.
Thank you, Creed. It's a thrill to be with you tonight. I'm so thankful God's allowed me to become involved with HELP Ministry. I pastored up north for 42 years, and when I resigned my church in Maryland after 40 years, they said, are you retiring? I said, no, I'm just regrouping. I'm going to go to Florida and see what God will allow me and privilege me to do. And through this dear brother, Scotty Drake and Chan McMillan, that I met back in 1968. I got saved in 1966 at Providence Baptist Church under Dr. Raymond Hancock. And so I'm just thrilled to be able to rub shoulders with these missionaries that are national pastors that are coming from all over the world, and to help us to get a vision of what they are doing. You know, ever since I got saved, I heard that everybody wants to go to heaven and get well done. Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah.
I wish I had a dollar for every time I've said that. I'd like to have that happen to me. Right? And I'd like to have a dollar for every Christian I've heard say, boy, I want a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think we have the idea that, hey, Jesus is going to be standing at the pearly gate handing out badges. Oh, come on in. You didn't win anybody to Christ, but that's okay. Well done. You didn't tithe, but hey, that's okay. Come on in. Well done. I see here you didn't give a tract out after age 50. You thought you were too old, but that's okay. Come on in. Well done. I heard Dr. Lee Robertson say one night in Chattanooga, he said, I'm over 70 now and I can preach to you old people. If we're going to get a well done, we're going to have to keep the race up until we get there. Brother Jean Marcel from Haiti, he will be interpreted by Olin from the Bahamas. So come, brother.
Good evening, church. I say God bless you tonight to be here in this church. to serve God with you.
And
we say thank you to Health Ministries. We say thank you to God for this organization who has this vision to evangelize lost people. And this vision is to send lost people to Christ. And we say thank you to Brother Scotty Drake,
Pastor Glenn Mormon,
and for his help to us.
My
name is Jean-Marcel Laplan.
I'm
from Haiti, from Bethel Baptist Church.
I
was born in a family with five children.
I'm
the third child in my family.
And as I
grew up, I saw that my father was a member of the Catholic Church.
He
was a very large member of the Catholic Church. This, but he did not participate in voodoo. But my mother would participate. And as I studied in the province where I came from, my father saw that it was important to send us to the capital to continue our education. He sent us with an entourage in Port-au-Prince. And as I got there, I had a cousin who would tell me about Jesus. I didn't accept him. I never wanted to. But there was a meeting one day.
C'est ancien président pays Aristide qui était dans tête mouvement ça.
It was the president Aristide who was the head of this movement at the time.
A bien des groupes qui sorti chaque dans l'église catholique.
There would be two groups coming from Catholic churches.
Yo t'a pas rencontré devant une caserne.
They would meet in one place.
Cousin ça t'a prend moi aller dans mouvement ça.
My cousin took me and went to this meeting with him.
Et lorsque nous t'est arrivé, nous t'est commencé à garder quelques photos.
And as we got there, we started looking at photos.
Parents qui t'ai perdu quelques petits yo.
A parent who lost their kids.
Et l'autre frère qui t'ai gagné sœur yo qui victime dans caserne ça.
And brothers and sisters who had siblings were victim
et
also.
Pendant gagné un groupe yo qui t'ai vinn rivé.
And one of the groups came.
Yo t'ai commencé chanter.
They started singing.
Et cousin m'a t'ai wè mouvement soldat yo.
My cousin saw the movements of the soldiers.
Il t'ai dit moi on retourner.
And he said to me, "Let us go back."
Et c'est pendant nous t'ap tourner.
And as we returned,
soldats ont commencé à tirer.
The soldiers started shooting.
Ils tirent dans le câble électrique.
They shot at the groups.
Ils ont tiré sur mon tour.
They shot at the individuals as well.
Moi couri, cousin m'a couru nous chaque faire route.
I ran and my cousin ran. We both ran in different directions.
Moi-même pendant m'tap courir, moi t'ai voyé une dame qui t'ai pris cartouche.
And as I ran, I saw a lady that was injured.
Qui t'ap sué sans couli.
She was bleeding from the body.
M'ai couru plus.
I ran even more.
Et lorsque m'ai arrivé à ma tante, moi.
As I got to my aunt's house.
Ma tante pointe saisi pas de connais si m'ai allé dans rendez-vous ça.
My aunt was shocked. She had no idea that I went to this meeting.
Et là ça m'ai commencé à réfléchir sur la vie, moi.
And there I started reflecting on my life.
Des cousins ça t'ap parlé de Jésus.
And my cousin who told me about Jesus.
And
after 1 year, I received Jesus.
Amen.
To serve God.
And
after I received Jesus, I've been serving him. God had not allowed me to be a victim in that situation. Because he had a plan for my life. And after I've received Christ, I started heavily attending the Sunday schools in 1998. I also attended the conferences
in the villages,
in the provinces as well. After that, I went to theology school. And it's been 2 years since I've graduated now. Pastor Fernel Joseph helped me in my studies.
C'était rêve moi pour me établir une église dans zone côté me fait là.
And it's my dream to establish a church in the area I came from.
Et pour me aider moun yo qui dans vodou.
To help the people who are in voodoo.
En pile moun dans zone ça yo, c'est vodou yo servi comme religion.
There's many people in that area who are in the voodoo and that's their religion.
C'est Satan y a servi.
And it's Satan that they're serving.
Alors rêve moi c'est ouais si en pile là yo.
And my dream is to see many of them.
Va tendre parole bon Dieu.
To hear God's word.
Plan moi aujourd'hui en Haïti.
And my plan right now
c'est prêcher l'évangile.
It's to preach God's word.
Plan moi.
My plan is.
C'est aller de porte en porte.
It's to go from door to door. Continue in telling others about Jesus. We have a group of missionaries. We organize 3 conferences a year. We also go into provinces. They last about 8 days. Preaching God's word. My dream is, especially for the area that I came from, to see these people receive Jesus and to hear God's word. And it's true that many of them don't have some necessities. But if they accept Christ, they would have eternal life. And I say thank you tonight for agreeing to have me share my life with you. I ask the church to pray for Haiti. God bless you.
This is Brother Olin. He is from the Bahamas, and I'm just blessed. My wife and I have been blessed to carry them around the state of Florida. And it's a blessing to be here in your good church tonight. Brother Olin, come tell us just a little bit about it. Preach to us. Amen.
Good evening, church. Tonight we find our text in the book of Acts chapter 16. And I just want to take some time to share my testimony and share a little bit what I'm doing in the Bahamas. My name is Olin LaFleur. I'm 22 years old, and I attend Liberty Baptist Church. One of the students here, Trevor Sears, he's a good friend of mine from the church. And you know, people say, Olan, you have a very strange name. I've been called Orlando, Onan, Olaf, everything in the book. And as you can see, I interpret for the gentleman that that's only because my mother is from Haiti, my father was from Haiti. Now, I was born and raised in the Bahamas, never went to Haiti one day in my life. But when my mother was 9 months pregnant, she swam from Haiti to the Bahamas, you know, trying to escape what's going on there. And the seas were rough, and she was swimming. And when she finally saw the shores of Nassau, Bahamas, she said, Olan, and there I was born. That's where I got my name from. The story's not true, but it sounds like something that could have happened. But I was not raised or born in a Christian home. My oldest brother in our family was the first to be a Christian. One day he invited me to the building project with him, and he waited until lunchtime. And he said, Olan, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And I could not answer that question. And the Holy Spirit just continued convicting my heart. And because where I live in Nassau, I live in the inner city, lots of bars, lots of gambling houses, lots of dope sellers, marijuana is a big thing where I live. And at the age of 15, I got caught up in that, started hanging out with some of the dope sellers in my area. You know, I wasn't some violent person, I wasn't some thief or what's not, but the mere fact that I was without Jesus Christ was enough to send me to hell. You know, I was just some typical young life that the devil wanted to destroy. And I got away from the Lord, and I remember my mom, she was so overwhelmed with what was taking place in my life, and she sent my uncle to talk with me, and he broke down in tears saying, Olan, I remember what a sweet and tender young man you were when you would come work with me each and every summer. And, you know, and my 4 younger sisters, they started attending this church. They got excited for the Lord. And there would be times they would put gospel tracts in my pocket, you know. So there would be times in the morning I put on my jeans, put my hand in my pocket, thought it was a lucky $20 bill. And no, it was a gospel tract. And the Lord used that again to build conviction. And like I said, my life was such in a mess. It was like I was standing on the outside, watching myself make all these bad decisions, it's like watching myself sinking in sand and being able to do nothing about it. And I remember one night I went to the elementary school that I graduated from, and I got on my knees in tears that night, and shaking like a leaf, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, and he did. And immediately I started attending Liberty Baptist Church with Ricardo Lee Sr. And it's the preaching of God's word that got me grounded in church. And when I heard the preaching, I said, no, this is the truth. This is what I've been looking for all of my life. And I tell people all the time, I'm living proof that, you know, we don't have to water down the word of God to get young people in church. And we could preach it as it is. And I was educated in theology there as well. And I've been a faithful member of Liberty Baptist Church. And as of 2013, my pastor, Ricardo Lees, and Pastor Ivan Carey, they established the Hope Conference. What the Hope Conference is, it's a conference that is geared towards the young adults, because my pastor said, you know, he realized that we have lots of youth conferences every summer, and we see young people, they come to the altar, they make decisions, they weep, but somewhere along the line, they go missing. I guess their philosophy is, they've graduated from church, now they believe they've graduated from God, and they've graduated from, you know, everything else. So the Hope Conference is geared towards those young adults, and we preach holiness, we preach Christian service, and they use the young preachers like myself and my friend Trevor here, And we have young people come up and testify as to what God is doing in their lives. Many of them are in the medical field. One recently graduated from law school. And we coined the phrase Hope Conference to show the young people in our country, you know, that there's more to life than what the world has to offer. Amen. But we can have a victorious Christian life in Jesus Christ. Yes. And right now I'm working with some of the young men in my neighborhood. I see a great need to reach them at a young age. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in a child. And I remember my pastor said, you know, if we wait until their 20s, that's 20 years of foolishness we have to try and drive out to get God's word in there. And I see a great need to reach them. See what I do? I would entice them with food, pizza and chicken. Then I'll bring them in and try to preach the demons out of them. But that's just a method I use to get God's word to them. And some of the missionaries, they would tell you about their family and their wives. I'm not married. And I remember one of the Filipino guys, he said, are you married? I said, no. He said, do you have a fiance, anyone you're interested in? I said, no. Then he said, do you know the difference between being complete and finished? I said, no. He said, when you marry a godly woman, a good woman, you're complete. But if you marry the wrong woman, you're finished. So if you want something to pray, there's something to pray about. In Acts chapter 16, we begin to read in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bethania, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Verse 9, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Lord, just for being in your house. And I ask that you stir our hearts, Lord, give us a burden to see lost souls come to know Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The theme of our message tonight is a city taken by prayer, preaching, and praise. In verse 9, it says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Yeah. And as we think of missions, immediately our minds race on images and photos that we've seen in the past, photos of people in third world countries. Many of them, they don't have enough food to eat. They don't have enough clothes for their families. Yeah. But if we were to look with a spiritual eye, we would see the need of lost people all around us. And we see lost people all around us saying, come over and help us. Yeah. You know, it's sad that they don't have the materialistic things in life. But the greatest need that a human being has is the salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. And I believe before we can even pray for lost souls, God would impress upon us, our spirits, that vision that he gave that to Paul. Lost people all around us. Not just in regions beyond, but our lost family members, our lost friends, our lost co-workers, our lost neighbors. Yes. It's a global mission field. Even when we leave these doors tonight. And so we find prayer. It says here in verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which we resorted thither. And if you're going to see the power of God, if you're going to see God move in a great way in the lives of missionaries as we give out tracts, as we soul win, it has to be done by prayer. The Bible says in all things by prayer. You know, there's some things that prayer can do that money could never do. Money cannot buy the infallible, incorruptible power of God. Amen. You know, I remember a revival preacher, he gave the illustration. This is a true story, not like my mom's story. But above him, he had a light bulb. This was when the light bulb first came out. And because in those days, they would have a candle or a lantern right next to the Bible to preach in the evening service. And there was a man sitting in the pew so fascinated with the light bulb. He saw it for the very first time in his life. And after the sermon, he asked the preacher, can I have that light bulb? It's quite new, so the preacher gave it to him. A few days later, he went to the preacher. He said, it's not working. So the preacher went to his home and he saw the man in his innocence. He had a string or a rope wrapped around that light bulb. Yeah. And so the church, just like that light bulb, we have all these big ideas, these big plans, these big things we want to fulfill. But without prayer, it's like wrapping a string around a big bulb, a big idea. But I believe prayer is that electricity that brings light to the light bulb. Amen. You might remember my pastor said, he said, Olan, as a young preacher, you need the power of God on your life. Amen. Don't rely on your intellect. It's a good thing to have education, but without God, you cannot do it.
Go ahead.
So many things, we could do it in the flesh, but anything that's not done by prayer and by the Spirit of God, it will not last.
That's right.
We can go for a few months, a few years in the flesh, but it's only the power of God. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, he said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have its free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul said, you know, pray for us that the word of God may have its free course as it is with you. Here in America, you can find some good Bible-believing churches and walk right in and hear God's word. But in some countries, that's not so. So Paul said, pray that the word of God may have its free course as it is with you.
We need to pray to see that God would work and move in a great way. Also, we find preaching. It says here in verse 16, and it came to pass, as we went out to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, this young lady, she's not promoting the ministry of Paul and Silas. She was scoffing and mocking. Verse 18, it says, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, before Paul said anything, before Paul declared the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was grieved within his spirit. When we see the state of the lost, does it bring grief to our heart? You know, the Bible said she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I think back on that city, you know, where I live, there's lots of liquor places. They would sell the liquor cheap just to get people to come in. They don't care if they become alcoholics. Certain young men, you would find them posted up on the corner, dressed in expensive clothes. They don't work. How do they have those stuff? They would find some young man and give him free dope. But guess what? That dope is not free. What's going to happen? That young man, he's going to get hooked, and he has to come back. Right. And he's going to steal just to get it. He'll break into somebody's home just to get it.
Right.
No, that's the way the devil is working. Sad thing is, after it all, they die and go to a devil's hell.
Yeah.
That's the state of lost people in this world right now.
Yeah.
And I remember back home, we cooked with the propane gas. Immediately, when you turn that stove on, that's instant fire. And one night, I was staring at that fire. I said, you know what, if we'd have placed our hand on that fire for 60 seconds, that's just 1 minute. Now, in hell, a man is consumed in hellfire from his toes to the crown of his head. Now 60 seconds, that's 1 minute, he's burning. 60 minutes, that's 1 hour, he's still burning. 24 hours, that's 1 day, he's still burning.
Yeah.
7 days, that's 1 week, he's still burning. 4 weeks, that's 1 month, he's still burning. 12 months, that's 1 year, he's still burning. 10 years, that's 1 decade, he's still in hellfire burning. 100 years, that's 1 century, he's still burning. And after a million years in hell, it would be as if hell hasn't even started for him as yet.
Yeah.
Because hell is eternal, it's forever and ever and ever. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 20, the devil was tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, some people, they try to take away the sting of God's eternal judgment by saying hell is not eternal. But as we read the Bible, we find that judgment is severe.
Yeah.
The Bible, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Amen.
Do we see the state of the lost man? Does it bring grief to our heart? I lost family members, I lost friends, I lost neighbors, and people in regions beyond. You know, someone said, the world has not been populated as it is now with 7+ billion people on this earth.
Yes.
If that's true, that means there are more people in this generation that's going to hell than any other generation before us if you don't get the gospel out. You know, most kids I know, they like firefighters. Why? Because firefighters, they are heroic men. When there's a fire somewhere, those men, they would run into that fire and rescue that burning person. Firefighters are emergency men in crisis hour. But I believe spirit-filled Christians and spirit-filled preachers, they're God's emergency men in crisis hours.
Amen.
And we're living in a crisis hour right now.
Yes.
And we need God's emergency men to go out there in the power and the Spirit of God to rescue the perishing.
Amen.
And Paul being grieved, and he turned and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ. With this gospel, we're not preaching some political persuasion. We're not preaching some philosophical idea, but we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says there's no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved.
But
it's by the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
That's the great gospel we're preaching. But these men, when they saw that this young lady was delivered, they were not happy about it. It says here, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, she was delivered, they could no longer use her, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. You know, I thought to myself as I read this verse, it's funny that these men could be persecuted for preaching Christ, this young lady being delivered. Just like the day of Paul, it's happening right now. You could talk about Buddha, Confucius, and Allah, and all these men. You could carry around the Quran. No one has a problem about it. But when you take this Bible and talk about Jesus Christ, They want to call the judges and the rulers and the magistrates
and
persecute us. No, Jesus said, you will suffer persecution for my name's sake.
Amen.
No, but there's a verse of scripture in Psalms 2. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. Verse 4, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision.
Yeah.
You know, the world thinks it's finished with Jesus Christ, but it hasn't even begun with him as yet.
Amen.
As we read the book of Revelation, God one day, he will remind this world that he is still in authority.
Amen.
My pastor said, you know what, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
We're not fighting for victory, but we're fighting from victory. Jesus Christ
Amen.
Has already given us that victory.
Amen.
The devil tonight is fighting a losing battle.
Amen.
But it's up to us, you know, to claim that victory in Christ and do as much as we can. I remember Ed Stanley, a man of God there in Fort Myers, he said, you know, don't get caught up in the talk, because the last soul you lead to Christ right now could very be the last soul that you lead to Christ before Jesus comes back. And every time he said that, every time I see him, he says the same thing. He said, don't get caught up in the talk, because this soul, if you lead a soul today, that could very be the last soul that you lead to Christ before Jesus comes back. And that is so true. But these men being put in prison, it says here, verse 25, we find praise and prayer again. And it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now it says, the prisoners heard them. Nobody sings in prison. Prison is a place of depression. It's a place of discouragement. No one wants to sing there. But you know what? In the public place, Paul and Silas, they preach. But in a private prison, they prayed and gave God the praise. No, there's going to be a point in time in our life, in your life, for many of us, it had already happened, when God takes away some loved one, some wealth, some health, whatever it may be. But our lost family members, our lost friends, the lost people around us, they know that we claim to be Christian. I mean, those testing and trying times come, they're going to look, will they still praise God? Now the Bible says here, the prisoners heard them. What a great testimony it was. No, even as preachers, sometimes you have to live what you preach. I remember last year, my dad, he had a large amount of blood that built up in his brain. And it caused his brain to shift to the left side of his skull, and he went into a coma. And I would visit him, watch him there. I remember one Wednesday, I did not go to see him, but I was preparing to preach that Wednesday night, and I saw my brothers walking into the door, and I could see that he had been crying. And he said, no, Dad died today. And I was supposed to preach that night, and the message was on faithfulness. I was like, really? But you know what? I didn't get upset with God, because I remembered I prayed even before that, and I said, Lord, it's in your hands. And I remember my pastor, when he picked me up, he said, let the dead bury the dead and go and preach the gospel. You know, when testing times come, the last people we want to think about is lost souls. But you know what? Sometimes we have to pull it up and still serve God. Now the Bible says, Paul and Silas, as they were in prison, they sang and they prayed to God, and the prisoners heard them. And immediately, the doors were opened. I remember my friend Ricardo Lees Jr., he said, you know, depression and discouragement, it's a spiritual problem. How did men in days of old deal with depression without the modern medicine? It says here in the Bible, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. If we can praise God in the times of trouble, you know what? God will bring us that deliverance that we need. The Bible says that Paul and Silas, as they prayed and sang praises to God, the prison doors were opened. There was a great earthquake.
Right.
And church, when those troubling times come, when testing times come, when persecution comes, if we can still praise God, he would break those bonds of discouragement from us.
Amen.
And the work of God can go on.
Amen.
So we see, we're not fighting the losing battle. Our work in the Lord is not in vain, but the city can be taken by prayer, preaching, and praise. Pastor Carter.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Good God.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. That was a good Bible message. Olin gave us a great sermon there. We've heard tonight from Brother Scotty and Brother Glenn and all of them. The mission field is getting the job done, even under some hard circumstances. many cases. But you just heard the message tonight. Could be there's somebody here that's still in the devil's prison and never been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man preached to us about turning his back on the dope crowd, the bad crowd, and coming to Christ. He talked about how awful it would be for a soul to be lost and go to hell. I'm going to ask Brother Cruz to, in just a moment, to lead us in a verse of invitation. And it could be that somebody here tonight is right where this young preacher just preached, making a decision for or against Christ. How about you tonight? Father, may you add your blessing to the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have thine own way.
You come,
way,
the Lord's spoken to you.
Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power of power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in thee.
All right, we'll let you be seated for just a moment. Tremendous good sermon for us tonight. It's a blessing all the way through. Brother Scotty gave his testimony there about the mission trip he was just on, and I agree with him. If we could just somehow transport all of us and we could see some of the things that he sees and feels on the mission field, it'd revolutionize our mission support, our prayer life, and what is first place in our life. It would make a difference. I've never been to the mission field, but what I come back feeling like I had to backslide to come home. That's a terrible thing to say, but the truth is you just kind of cut to what's most important. And all the rest of the stuff that ties our time up don't seem near as important when you really see the need. And God is working. Sometimes here, quite often here. We do our best. We run our buses. We go out on visitation, and still we can have a Sunday at least in the big room here, we can have a Sunday maybe where nobody gets saved and nothing big happens. But by God's grace, this church has got, it's got a web across the mission field. And it may not, we may not be able to see it, but God sees it. It's happening in a lot of places, like you heard testimonies tonight. Some of those preachers we have supported for years that are doing the job you described tonight, Brother Scotty. So, yes, we still got a part, and that's what that gauge is all about, giving to missions. And we have to give sacrificially. That is given over and above a regular Christian's regular tithe and offering. That's what that is. It's faith missions. When we put on this card, we don't put our name on it, but when we put on this card, I'm praying and asking God to give X amount per week through me, and I'm going to trust Him for it, and that's what that gauge is reflecting. But what it's also reflecting is what's happening around the world because of some influence and support from this church. And so, folks, we don't talk about missions probably enough, but that's what we're doing now. We're talking about them tonight. We're going to talk about them Sunday. And I hope it'll stir us more to prayer and to dig deeper if we can and give. And one day, I like what Brother Glenn said a while ago, a lot of folks think they're just going to get up to heaven's door and hear, "Well done." I don't think that's the case. I think you're going to get to heaven's door and say, "What have you done? What have you done since you got saved?" And sad truth is, we're not going to have much of an answer if we're not faithful. Amen. Been a blessing to me tonight. I hope you got a blessing out of it. Starting with the music program, the choir done a great job there. And words, I think about... that was good, Brother Cruz. That was good. I can't say them again, but they're still in there. I just can't pull them out. "How great thou art." reworded for a mission song. I would never dream that. But that was really good. Amen. And just been a blessing to be here. Pray about it for this Sunday. We're going to give Sunday school time. We're going to give the preaching and Sunday to the cause of missions. And it won't be but a little while, but we'll have our last offering on watch night service, praying to reach our goal, and praying we could even, as Brother Scotty said, if we just do what we've always done, that's by sight. But if we do what we can't see, then that's faith stepping out. Think on that some. That's really right. Amen. All right, Brother Cruz, you want choir practice? All right. Choir, you're so important. While everybody else is seated, out of respect to you, I want you to get up and head toward the choir loft.
Amen.
Come on, because otherwise you fellowship all the way down the aisle and it takes a while. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's all be dismissed and let's pray about this thing. Amen.